trumps the expediencies of the areas, if you think that from different areas. And I think people, local people, they can access, because you find that their local experiences that we may not be aware of at this level. The local experiences in the Drakensberg, for instance, that could be improved, but we are not aware of them. There are local experiences, as Umama owned, or many cities talked about in the Valga Sandile Grave. These are experiences. They are experiences in the form of the way as Umama Shiba says that these are experiences. From where we sit, we do not know these experiences. And we do not know how we can assist as well. So now, what is expected of us? What is expected of government? And then how do we then as government respond and say, Salga, this is your baby. Province, this is your baby. This is our baby. Marketing, how do we market? Are we doing the best in line with marketing rural development as far as tourism is concerned? Enterprise development. Enterprise development, we talked about looking at places like Mitchell's Plain, Khayelitsha, looking at rural areas. Do we say that government does not have money to build anything there and leave it like that? Or do we say, here there is potential, clearly, and then perhaps we can either lease or rent or do whatever. You remember in the olden days, there were places like Kumkababa. They were built by government. People rented shops there. They sold there. But the infrastructure was created by government. Given that, can't we then, as government, identify areas, identify the lake in Venda, build an enterprise, building there, but entrepreneurs lease the space, and then we develop that. If so, who does what, where, and how? SMME support. Here we are not happy with SMME support. As a committee, now in general, not we are not complaining about tourism or whatever. We are not happy about SMME development. Let me tell you a story. I was approached by a lady, Saloshna Mudli. She has got this backpackers place. That was in November last year. She says, no, I want to upgrade these backpackers so that during the World Cup we'll be having a 3 or 4 star hotel. She connects with some hotels for purposes of branding. The hotel agrees, and it's a well-known hotel, and then she goes out to look for a loan. And now we are talking about a loan here of about 3 or 4 million rand. And the value of the property is 10 million rand. Up to now, she has not received a loan. KwaZulu-Natal Trade and Investment packaged everything and said, this is a success story. Up to now, Ikhala Bank has not given her money. And this is an experience, and that institution was likely to succeed because already it is succeeding as a backpacker. What she was doing was to upgrade it to a hotel and then have a restaurant there to cater for people, because there is a big restaurant around her property, which is called, I think it is called Harvard, which is a high-class restaurant. So now she wanted also, because in the vicinity people were already coming for restauranting. That has failed up to now. And then there is no deal there is no hope of success. And yet everybody that is working in government has said it is going to be a success. Then they, so we have had experiences also of people setting up the Grameen Bank. Why does South Africa run away from facilitating the Grameen Bank, which is a bank of very, very poor people, but run by them? And then the security aspect of the bank is organized around their partnership. They have a social capital that makes sure that things happen the way they want those things to happen. Now, all these things, once they are in place, they would then create decent jobs, and by decent jobs, we mean jobs that are within the basic conditions of employment. They can create sustainable livelihoods, like restaurants, like crafts, and so forth. And then there was an idea that why doesn't South Africa manufacture beads and whatever to make it cheaper? That was out, but that could be examined as well. Then we had the other part, number two, the National Department of Tourism, where now they craft a business plan, and then focus the efforts around some of their efforts, resources, and capacity around this issue of rural development in the first place. I think there should be capacity building according to, I did not include it, but according to discussions yesterday, we said that there is a need for skills in the rural area. If you look at the reconstruction and development program and tourism, they talk of you training rural people and not getting skills from outside, so that you are sure that even if they someone wants to poach them, those people have a house there, they've got their children there. There's a lot to lose if, say, somebody says, I want you in Johannesburg to work for Holiday Inn or Southern Sands and so forth. So now, the RDP says something about that. I think we'll have to go and refer to it. I don't know the specifics, but it is under tourism. Then we go to capitalizing on the 2010 FIFA World Cup experience. How do we optimize the legacy of the 2010 FIFA World Cup? There is an area of marketing. People now have had and they know about South Africa. The attention has been drawn to South Africa. And now the responsibility is for us to create an interest of people into South Africa, particularly in the tourism industry, and then a desire to come to South Africa and then act to attract them. That is the well-known AIDA principle, right? Attract, create an interest, create desire, then act. And then make sure that then our service monitoring is worked upon. That could be the issue around marketing and selling this product. We are having marketing agencies, and then perhaps we'll also have to look once more at them and say perhaps and look at the focus in line with what we are having. And then raising the profile of tourism in government raising the profile of tourism in Parliament as well. So finding a way of tourism, the Minister of Tourism appearing now and then on TV, the Chairperson of Tourism appearing now and then on TV, members of the committee appearing now and then on TV, saying something about tourism, as a way of increasing the profile of tourism that is raising in. And that the portfolio committee to try and develop a strategy to be visible. That is where we'll need the support of the media people in Parliament. And they are not visible themselves. And so now let us make sure that we work together with them. And if Parliament is employing people that are supposed to be bookkeepers as media people, let them look at that and make them bookkeepers rather than media people. But look at the tourism per se, and how do we raise the profile of tourism. Then there was the issue of education and communication. Here, I think our report has got to recommend the issue of tourism forming a basic part of basic education, part of basic education, some aspects of basic education. And I like the way Untate Sai had put it, talking about simple things that people can do, because you don't need university things to go about, but just simple things, simple thoughts. For instance, is it wrong for us to have a high profile visit to the Northern Cape, where during the season, where the blooming season of the flowers, what is it called? And then perhaps combine it together with something on heritage and cultural tourism, and then appear during that time. Is it wrong to be part of an event like cycling, a cycling tour, which is in Cape Town? How do we position ourselves as tourism there? How do we position ourselves as tourism in the Comrades Marathon? How do we position ourselves in around the Kimberley? How do we position ourselves around Mapungubwe in Limpopo? And in the process, educate people and communicate the relevant messages. Now, we are not experts in all these fields, but we need support, parliamentary support. Experts, we are told, are employed by Parliament on communication, on public relations, and so forth. But we do not hear a lot of members of Parliament talking on radio. We do not hear a lot of members of Parliament appearing on TV on real issues now, on salient issues. Our debates are not on TV, even if they are very, very, very significant for the country. What is wrong? How many of us have appeared on Vuyo and Lien's program in the morning? And then the equivalent of that sunrise in ETV to tell people about the hopes that we have about tourism, the plans that the department is having, the plans that SALGA is having, because it's not a one man show. The national department should not take it on itself that it is going to do everything. But what it means is that it should engage, and then we've got to be a tourism team, a tourism fraternity, supporting the private sector. Because also, the government cannot do a lot of these things in the private sector, in tourism, which is private sector driven. So now, how do we make sure that we consult and SALGA is abroad, the provinces are abroad, are on board our program on capitalizing on the World Cup, which has given us the attention. And then now, after having the attention, the interest in South Africa is already there halfway. So 50% of the interest has still to be generated, and then we created desire for people to come to South Africa as this destination of a diverse experiences which are from one destination. What do we do about that? We, for instance, we are lucky in Durban. We have the biggest Indian population outside of South Africa. How do we, and India is getting richer by the day. How do we translate that to mean something to us as tourism? There are these things which are there in every province, and we are not making use of them. So how do we make use of them? How do we make use of the climate of Durban, which is warm, which happens to be more or less the climate of East London, which is more or less, minus the wind, that of Port Elizabeth? Are we this sunshine, this warmth, are we using it? Cape Town, the views. But the disadvantage for Cape Town becomes the cold waters. If you are from Durban, it's very difficult for you to get into the sea in Cape Town. It's so cold that you can't swim, you can't breathe. But that doesn't mean that Cape Town cannot do something like what is done in Varambat. In Varambat, they've created their own sea. There are waves, there are everything, there's everything and so forth. Why can't then we create the sea in Cape Town where people can swim? You create a dam, a big dam with actual waves. It's there in Varambat. I do not know how many people have gone to Varambat. And it's working, and working very well. So now, but now Cape Town, our problem is swimming in the water, in the cold water. So to solve that problem, you can have that thing. We can negotiate and have that experience and optimize our situation. So it's these things, capitalizing on the World Cup and on the things that people have seen. And the issue also of policing. How do we continue maintaining that momentum of policing? We have, during the World Cup, it was safe. Even at night, people could go to pubs and walk to their restaurants and so without any fear of being attacked. For instance, in Durban, when Australia was lost, we realized that Durban had lost. Because what happened, the Australians went into a stadium there, they pitched up their tents, the city built toilets there. They built the infrastructure, they provided for electricity and so forth. Those people were staying in Durban right through until Australia lost. And it was quite a big experience. Now the question is, can't we learn from those things and then develop a product from those, capitalizing from our experiences from the World Cup? That is the second area. Then the other area is around the issue of the extended public works program. And here we do support it because it's money, but how do we then maximize it to the benefit of tourism? And perhaps could we not then get a briefing on the way forward? Are we doing EPWP according to rural needs, or are we having EPWP in areas that are already having money? And then, if so, how do we make sure that we go forward? Then we have issues of signage. This issue is not in the hands of tourism. It is in the hands of the provinces and, to some extent, the different towns and cities. And it is quite a hassle. I remember when we went to Port Elizabeth, and we asked them, when are you going to have signs? The signage indicating this, and hey, they kept on saying this and the other. They were not definite, and we were left with about 2 months or 3 months. But fortunately, we managed then to put temporary signage, which was yellow in color. But for how long is that temporary signage going to be there? Because even in Devon, I can see that those yellow temporary signs. When are we going to replace them? What is the cause of this delay? Do they want criteria for something to appear there? If that is the problem, why are they not developing the criteria? What is the criteria if the criteria are there? So let us, that perhaps the portfolio committee can engage and summon perhaps the provinces and the road agencies, and then discuss what exactly causes the delays, because we all know there are delays. But exactly what causes the delays for people to know these sites, we do not know. For instance, there's a big wheel like the Millennium Wheel in Cape Town. You just see it by chance. You do not know it is there or what excitement it provides and so forth. And how to get there, you do not know. To get to the Table Mountain, you get to the first sign when you are already in Cape Town. So these things, shouldn't we have the World Heritage Site, for instance, being at a certain distance to a city, being part of the signage, and then if so, how does it happen? Which countries do that, and how is it is done in other countries? Where are we having best practice? Perhaps we can get it from people that have traveled a lot abroad, who can say that no. These things are happening in France or in Spain or in Brazil or in India or wherever. And the other issue is around improving the type of information we have as tourism. And the proposal is requesting the National Development Department of Tourism, MINMEX, and SALGA to look into how we can improve tourism information. Now, this one perhaps we can have a deadline for a year or so. But now it means that because now MINMEX are not the MINMEX is under control of SALGA. SALGA knows now the importance because it is here. Then the MEC is perhaps because they are not here. But I think they'll have a desire because they've seen how working together has been. And then the National Department of Tourism. Perhaps if the National Development and the Department of Tourism can initiate that in the MINMEC, and then they come together and then come with this improving tourism information, and then assist the committee in pushing for better signage and information from different areas. Then there is an issue of the budget, the finances. The budget of tourism is very small, and almost all of it just goes to South African tourism. What is the percentage? 65%, yes. So now, really, that leaves us with very little, because still little. I mean, we receive very, very little amounts as tourism. So now the question is that, moving from there, without complaining, but giving people a plan, what do we do? Ours is not to complain. Ours is to assist in planning. Then or do oversight. That's when we start criticizing after oversight of a plan. But at this stage, building the nation, the proposals that we had yesterday, what are they specifically? What do we expect from the local government level? And then having a meeting with National Treasury, looking at the budget structure. But there you've got to have solid proposals saying this, that, and the other. For instance, the infrastructure, for businesses around these areas and so forth, which happen to cause bottlenecks and hindrances to development in those areas. These are the types of major issues that we have to look into and then try and work our way forward. And in the process, optimize our legacy from the FIFA 2010 World Cup. Secondly, improve rural development, and tourism in general, because tourism has become a major income generator to the fiscus. It then has to make sure that it is perceived as such. Now, it is the task of the tourism fraternity to make sure that that does happen. At one stage, we oversight on the department, but at the other, we are part of the fraternity of the tourist. We are part of the tourism fraternity in the country. How do we then move together to build a better tourism in South Africa as part of moving forward from a very successful World Cup? I think let me end there and then perhaps give you an opportunity to discuss this, evaluate what has been said, and then start building a way of moving forward. And let me thank the COO of the department for assisting also in looking at the key priorities and key issues. Now, it doesn't mean that this in concrete, written on concrete. It is there as a basis on which we can build moving forward. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, curio shops, shops for unique drinks. For instance, there is no there could be a legislation stopping people from selling traditional beer. Is that in the interest of the country at this stage? How then do you control that if you have that? If somebody says, but what type of beer do people here drink? drinkers, and so we make sure that perhaps you have your enterprise making beer, which is under FAPS control or health standards control and so forth, and then you supply some people with that stuff with your, as long as it is legal and has been vetted health-wise and so forth. That enterprise can be, that can be developed by entrepreneur, and then we can assist in distribution, as we have been talking about marketing and so forth, and attach a name to that, South African, whatever. If it is not South African, it could be Limpopo. If it is not Limpopo, it could be Bapedi. If it is or Botswana, Tswana Beer or Zulu Beer, that type of thing. That you have these shops, if it cannot be preserved, then it should be this thing. You can even organize a co-op for rural women to make the beer, as long as it conforms to some standards. Okay.
Spoke about the need for the product to be authentic and sophisticated. I think this is one, I don't know how you can do it, but I think it is very important that somehow, you know, we find a way of overseeing this area. But I think, as we all know, our shops, our business, are really full of very, very artificial kind of products which are being sold in the name of them being South African. And then also, we need to have an artificial, but okay, the idea, I'm not saying the topic, but if you go to some of these craft areas, we find nothing available in South Africa, but what has come from other countries in Africa. So I think again, you know, we have to look into it. I know in the area where I stay, the residents, it used to be one of those white countries, so, but I think the people learn to, you know, to survive on their own. But one of the things that happens is we have an art and craft exhibition and of course sale of products once a year. You go there, you want to buy something that is South African. It might be anything outside that most people love them, are not seeing you from North Africa and so on. Not that we should say lockdown, because we know that we are working together. But I imagine that a story is coming from somewhere, Europe or wherever, and they buy those things and they feel like they have bought South African products, but You know, when we came here in the 10 years, And one time, you were excited, thinking that here is the Lord, and that is really going to help us. But I gave up. When I see them displaying here, I don't know what to do. I'm sorry. Because I know they will talk nicely about Kula and what they do and so on. And I tried to introduce you in a city to which you think that it could be funded by Kula. You just don't think that. Maybe in other areas they are still. But for me, I'm feeling up Kula. There's what seems to be the Youth Commission. The National Youth Development Agency.
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot of money. There's a lot of money there. I think we should say, also look into both areas and find out what they are doing for themselves in assisting in the promotion of policy. You mentioned the possibility of the government change, but there are other financial institutions. And we need to look into those and see how we can exploit the fact that we have not enough of funds, but we can still use funds for those who are assisting us in the rural area. And one other area on training, the Department of Labor supports that fund. What is it
called? I don't know. National Development Skills.
Yeah.
Skills
and
that's
last time, see, when we talk about capacity building in the area of policy, what is that fund doing for us in this particular area? And as we have said, precisely because it contributes so much to the fiscal in this country. And therefore, I think we must try and get people to realize that in order to get assistance in terms of assisting people, we must ensure that they do.
Thanks. Any other? Yes, sir. Go ahead. Oh, okay.
And in engaging, the minister himself also engaged with them. So, from our context, that tourism is a fraternity word. And that talks about consultation, stakeholders from local government, through to the private sector, through to the NGOs, etc. So, people will feel part of the process going forward.
It could be an association, fraternity association, or league or something on.
It's a key bunch of people with a common objective. So I think we must talk about this and you can engage with them. And then the four areas that I ask for is you pay for the capital agency, rural development, which would include any of the things, anything we talked about. I call it red tape exercise. Talk about the licensing, the signage, the new development to unlock the potential that is there. And then the last one, I call it co-finance tourism. So that's everything we spoke about in terms of government, the media, budget, etc. So I think you've covered everything that are those, in my intention, but everything. Just the one thing on the sign is the road signage. That it wasn't clear before. Sometimes the challenge is that the province owns the road that connects two municipalities. And sometimes it's a national road. And if you're a small town and you're trying to get permission to put your sign on that road, you say to the committee, find the right person. It's not, I mean, it is internal issues in the municipality. find that it's not a tourism issue, it's a road agency issue. And the provincial road agency, national road agency, then sometimes to toll them.
Yeah, every also when we are looking at this issue of a lack of road signage, there is also another extreme, which could be crowding out the necessary signs. Which signs do you have to have? And then if you are not having those, there have to be limits, even if now we want them to be there. We've got to have this and the other. And then, I don't know how, but there is a possibility of crowding out the necessary signs, if you get what I mean. So now, how do we work our way away from that? That then should mean criteria. And then those criteria then have to be developed. All criteria are developed by people. And then, but also we've got to get a political buy-in, and I think that the NDT, MINMEC, and SALGA are the correct political, that is the correct stop. So the issue of the of red tape should get into the area where the NTT, MINMEC, and SALGA should meet, and then it should be addressed together with improving information, tourism information. I think if we add it there, it becomes simpler. Addressing red tape. So the topic just would be addressing red tape. Okay. Then, are there any other proposals?
The thing, the pro-party government, what I would suggest perhaps is from the portfolio side, you can identify who is your communication people. But I think then you can align on the ministry communication and the department communication, so that we can work portfolio committee into the communication strategy of NDP, the ministry, and the portfolio committee. Because I think that's the gap that we've got. So then I think we can support you and your people can support us in making sure that we, on the highest level, where we talk to the people, how we are going to let tourism become the major gain our space on TV, gain our space on the news media, even newspapers. So I think that through your secretary, they can communicate with our office. We will then set up a meeting to assist the government.
Okay, the secretariat is our CEO. Please attend to that. The FFC, perhaps, is there any advice you can give us as to different ways of financing major projects from government? Could be IDT, Development Bank. You see, that we've got to be creative now. We shouldn't be doing things as they have been done. We're facing a new situation which needs new ideas. And then we need everyone's support. And then everyone's knowledge. And you find that I have knowledge on about tourism, and then when it comes down to funding and government funding of some of these things, I'm not that good. You see? So we find that the FFC could advise that this you can do for provinces, this you can do for national, this you can do for local government, that type of thing. Is there any way of going forward in that respect?
Yeah, thanks very much. What not a few issues of the budget, the allocation, the problem is we may ask, we know here that
Yeah, because really also we'll have to engage Treasury in this respect.
South Africa would it look like from the tourist perspective, and how do we get there? And we invite
the tourism fraternity and others. And maybe one topic at the summit that you mentioned before. Tourism is not owned by government.
Yeah, no,
the ideas are out there, and I think people recognize that the openness of government to listen, two, that the vision will be built together, and three, is that the role for government will come out of it, whether it's funding, infrastructure investment, etc., and then they will play their part as well. And then we can make better use of resources as government to rural areas, etc.
Thank you very much for that contribution. But also, I think we've got to use advocacy as well. For instance, in this area of rural development, if I were to say, let's have 3 pilot projects on rural development of tourism, what would you say as a leader? We are all leaders here in the house. South Africa now, don't talk about your hometown or what, but we are looking at South Africa now. If we are say give 3 places for rural development, just 3 destinations, and perhaps then we use that for our advocacy, because I think we shall have to have advocacy here and convince people. It's not about being government and making rules and whatever. You've got to or laws, but at another level, we've got to convince people and say, here's a wonderful pilot project for a very wonderful South Africa after the World Cup. We have targeted this place, and the other. For instance, my choice would be the White Coast, Pondoland, there around there. But now, my problem would be local governments there, the provincial governments there, because they won't be building roads, they won't be having money for sanitation, they won't be having anything for water and so forth and so forth. After now I've said that, the wild coast around Port St. John's and whatever, there could be property rights issues and a number of issues, right? But there is a town there, I don't think right side, inside town you would have property rights. But in the rural areas then there's a place for a chief, then there is a need for other creative means and so forth. How do we then say, if we choose Port St. John's as a destination, rural destination for development, how do we, let us take that as an example. What would we need to develop that, and how would we get there? you get what I'm saying? In order to convince people, you've got to talk about things they see the every day, and you don't have to be high there because people won't understand you. But you say, we as a tourist, let us say fraternity, but except for the, there should be a better word for that, but I don't have it now in my diction. But let us say now, how well, which rural place can we say if we were here? And there would be, let me say, give 2 examples. One, the issue of Port St. John's. 2, the vendor experiences around the lakes and the art. There seems to be many forests there and a lot of stories to be told around that. But now there are also constraints. What do we say to people when we have that? Port St. John's, we want it to be developed and so forth. What do we do to actually get hotels there, a beach there which is safe with the safety nets, all what we need to have water there, to have sanitation there and whatever. Because we don't have to talk about wishes. We've got to talk about how do we get there as well? Yes, sir. Yeah, we are not talking about Western Cape, Gauteng, and Durban. No, okay. We are excluding the 3.
Okay, so
because they are more advantaged than others.
So
yeah.
Second thing is that what is working local government, in my experience, whether it's donor funding or even EPWC support, where there's a helping hand, there's a receiving hand.
Mm.
understand what local government, if they make the request to express the interest, and it may just be the mayor or the city manager or a dynamic official, what they receive and how they cooperate is so much better. If you understand what I'm saying. You need somebody to have the design to participate. They may not have the capacity, resources or whatever, but they need to have the design. Whether they have no infrastructure there, but the fact is that they recognize, as opposed to, I think, Aspire and MSI is one of those examples that have been a success. As a development agency, that they are aggressively looking for
development.
Exactly. So that's one thing. Instead of just choosing the most remote area, so that's been one. The second thing I would say is that I think it would be great if the work in the private sector, that people get mentored, whether it's your job or your project or whatever, and these projects need mentors. And they could be one of the members of the portfolio committee could be a mentor to each of those projects. They're personal oversight. And somebody from Dalga could have personal oversight. And somebody from the department could be maybe a consultant as well. So that somebody says, what is happening? But they know they're being watched. So that project doesn't go off track or doesn't miss the objective. So it'd be great.
Doesn't lose money as well.
Because sometimes it's and you have that interest, not only as a mentor, but in your work capacity as the chair. And then they know that just going all the way up to Parliament, you better get a draft. So that's the thing. And if I could choose my side, I'm quite a fan of the Northern Fish thing, because I can get there from Joburg. And also the Northern Cat. So the Northern Cat that Northern parts of Harvey is really, really beautiful there. There's nothing. Towns are vast distances apart, but it's really under the area. But that's just, I've got some personal connections. As I said, the Northern Cape and Northern Cape really special places in South Africa. So, but as I said, you want that municipality, if it's
willing,
you need that willingness, you need a man who you can follow.
So that's what
I
would say.
Thank you, Jane. I think you've put the finger on the word I like. We've been talking about what are we going to do to make sure that we get to it through the next visitor's office. So that's one of our principles. So basically what you said to your next step. The second thing is that are very interested in taking how are we going to get more affordable accommodation facilities for the people that cannot afford to go and stay so what are we going to do and it's almost in the old system. Talking earlier before the meeting around, remember when together to see how that area can be uplifted to the economic viability. Road, this is where the debate about the two countries. Access, the whole issue about the people who are legal and illegal occupation around the coast, all those things. So, for me, I think that we step one back and we say, this is our principle. It's in the strategy. Say, yes, this is a problem. So, it's a project that we design where, you, according to your words, if we've got one girl, you will be the girl. The World Cup is like that.
Project, yeah.
And I attended all those meetings, the IMC meetings were everywhere. It's like one family sitting around the table to make sure it's a success. And I think that it can start on the portfolio level, where we interact with the right portfolio chairperson to make sure that we identify the project, and that the part the government is putting the money there. Because the money is there. Whether it's an SRPP, whether it's an infrastructure grant, whether it's in all of DPI, but at the end of the day, you can deliver on that. And I think I like the idea that, because we can't have the shotgun approach and try and do rural development all over. This is why the part of rural development for a strategy to address those areas with the most poverty, but of course, economic potential. Well, I think it's just a matter of us aligning. Work has been done on different levels. We just need that one person, like a Danny or Don, to put things together. And I think that was what happened in the World Cup, because he was the anchor person, but he had a lot of soldiers, and I think that's what we need to do. And through your suggestion, I think we can deal with the realities of making a difference. I know the paper for political programs intention is to save the money equally, but sometimes you need to put it in focus and make a big difference, which will develop and uplift that. The Venga area we refer to, this is where the pension is. And then we've also got social responsibility programs. And a lot of departments have got programs there. But that cohesion of planning is not there. Anyone is doing there, but if you put the money in the spot, you might get So I would like to support that. But I think we just need to take leadership up, we take it up and identify that area. For me, what's nice is that I think the partnership between the department and the talent are growing, and I think this is where we can support one another. They surely have got ideas of what is the possibility. I agree. You can have all the data, but if there's no buy-in and there's no common goal, you will not achieve.
Yeah, no. I think we are getting it right slowly. You use now this common goal, and there is an expression of one goal, education, right? But the World Cup, I think here is the way of managing that was used in the World Cup to manage one of the projects. That is what came from. Mr. Cohen as well, it comes from you as well, that now let us break down the silos and say this project does not have silos. It has got people, or if you participate, you participate because you have a role to fulfill. And we come together and we including some of the private sector role players as well, who are going to specify things that they want as well. And then we move forward. But for purposes of advocacy, we'll need to have this destination, either one, two, or three, you know? And then, because otherwise it doesn't become affordable. And then they build a model. And then after building that model, you'll find that if those models thrive, then the private sector will get in easily and build others elsewhere as well. Oh, but I think we have had enough discussion for us to have a prayer of this thing. And then we are still building on this issue of a summit to increase the profile and then to get people interested. As soon as it becomes finalized, then we'll talk about it. But now it is not finalized yet. But the more we talk, the more we realize that this summit is necessary. Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Just back on the pilot process, I fully agree with you in the speaker on how it should be managed, you know, jointly, so that there's no problems. At the end of the day, tourism is a business.
Yes.
So before we decide, we can identify the provinces that need development. As we said, not KZN, but level area, not Caltech, not West. But we'll also have to put the private sector and say, what will the market buy? Understand? And then we go, because it's no use having empty elsewhere. But the market won't want their product. It's not a thing that we know their customers, they know their private tourists, they know exactly what they want. Some are eco tourists, some want their fun, some want to take photographs, some want to go and look at the little end store, the riverine rabbit. You know, so each one has got their own little thing they want to see. And if they say, this will work. Because sometimes, as we said in Lucia, that area, as Kursi Bay, there's no problem with that, because the environment can't sustain. It's small boutique hotels, but they charge so high rates. The most wealthy people don't care, but people spend their income from that. Because of the high profit in it. So, especially rural areas, because of the eco-sensitivity, and I don't need to create a balance between environmental concerns and economic growth. So, that's like the advice.
Let us break for 15 minutes, come back at 11:15. And because our tea break is already over, it was supposed to be 10:30 to 10:45. We do not want to disturb the program of the hotel as well. If we conclude too early, we won't have the benefit of lunch. Well, we'll have to play it around. Kevin, who's the draft by Monday, Tuesday. Then I'm going to that thing. So I went to that thing.
I'm the customer for communication. Like now, don't have that oversight. We should have a customer from communication to come on.
Even after this strategy workshop, we could write for
them.
Did you talk to people in language as well?
Because we need to request somebody for a translation.
In Italian language, African and African, because
most of the committees, when I see they request, when they go to oversight, they request the translate, depending on the language that is spoken in that place. Because other people, that's our fear, right? And they will be the same in African. And we'll be speaking maybe to other old people who can't even speak other languages. That's something that
you can be a check it out because when you tell my brother, you can have later after program, so that people can learn from it.
Okay, it's in English.
ons gaan net betaal vir wat ons nodig het. Dis reg, so ons sal betaal vir dit wat ons gaan gebruik. Wat is dit? Wat is dit? Ja? Dan moet ons gaan betaal vir wat ons gaan gebruik, nie vir wat, as hulle gaan ouwer is. Dit. Ons die 5% die bepaal wat ons moet doen. Hello.
Very useful, Brenda. Very useful. Parliament meeting the internet, right? Most of the time I see it. But why? Because then don't any cheat them. Because you pay for per month, you money chile. You research. How do you operate with one? Which was a good development? Where are you going to be informed? In fact, Mangaba, because it's the basis here, information. Let's get settled and start. Okay, let us get into the last phase now. And where after a lengthy discussion we've come up with some proposals. On issues of rural development, from the discussions we had, is that rural development, among other things, should be part of addressing the tourism spread, which we said that tourism is skewed towards Gauteng, Western Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal mainly. So rural development is going to assist in that spread. And product development, we mentioned it, but I think also we need to to pronounce as to what we are having, and then particularly what are the new products that we want to develop. For instance, in our tourism, there are things that need to be maintained and maintained well. Don't change them, like Southern Sands, Cape Town, Gauteng. But there are things that still need to be developed. For instance, we talked about heritage tourism, we talked about cultural tourism, which mainly happened to assist rural development. And we said that, so now, when we look at product development, I think we've got to pronounce on new areas where we as people coming from government and as part of the tourism, what we call fraternity, should pronounce and then say, we think that we can increase products and then have heritage market, if we heritage tourism or whatever. What are your thoughts on that one, on product development? We have good products, which we do not need to spoil. How do we add to the ones? What is the plan of the department? Is it cultural and heritage tourism? No?
For the niche project?
Yes.
Yeah. I think we identified food tourism, we identified the heritage, we identified medical tourism.
Medical tourism.
So there's quite a few that we've identified.
As new areas.
Cruise tourism is quite far involved. I think that the one
cruise,
that will have an impact on the rural areas will be your heritage tourism.
Yes. Then it's a cruise, heritage, and cultural, ne?
Yeah.
And medical, okay. And medical. Then, our seas amenable to cruise tourism. I remember one time one of cruise ships fell. I saw it on TV some years ago. Was it off next to the? Was it the ocean? Yeah, it was a Greek. This thing. Which we saw falling, sinking into the sea. Our seas, I mean, good for cruise tourism.
No, I mean,
are tourists going to be scared away because of the bumpy seas?
Yeah, I mean, they operate, you just look at newspapers.
Yeah.
People are traveling from, they're basically in Durban and
stuff. Yeah.
You need to have one that big Queen Mary 2 or a ride for 400 passengers, and they drop in Cape Town. You can imagine the revenue that will come from that 400. But those people who are traveling on the cruise tours or on the cruise ships, they've got the money. So when you arrive in Cape Town, Table Bay and Harbour, they go to the cargo. In the World Cup, there was two airliners that dropped in Fiji because we said we don't want them in Cape Town because there's enough accommodation here, but Fiji might not have enough accommodation. So you can go to Cape Town. That stimulated the market there.
Or is it sea liners?
That's sea liners. But it's only Durban which has got a fairly okay key berth space for cruise liners. This is mostly where a lot of the vehicles are operated by. But I think that's one of the areas that we haven't tapped into. Because if you can have a big vessel come to Cape Town, or to PE, or to Durban, with 400 to 600 passengers, for 2 days, is how much they are
indirect benefit of green particles.
Okay. And then at different local levels, what product development are you having in mind?
Look, I come from a local economic development
perspective. Yeah.
You have to see what is available.
Okay.
I mean, there are ways. I'll give you an example. On the planet Earth, it's true. I mean, in Joburg, they recently have invested in, and Tarnatech invested, have invested in Lily Tree Farm. It's a really amazing experience.
Okay.
Invested in. But, I mean, if you're a local municipality, and you are not on, and you're just in a rural or more out the way area, having one heritage product may or may not be enough. You have to cut the tourism. So, for example, I'll just talk about two of our trips because I know a little bit about it. There's going to be a steam train, in Caledon to Watts River, something like that. There's a cycle route, there's a festival, a jazz festival, or something called a cultural festival. There's a cycling route, there's also something to do with something actually happening in, working the name of the main town there. But what I'm saying is that heritage could form part of that, or it could be the primary or secondary function. Then we spoke yesterday about other factors like the weather being attributes, the climate or forest or natural assets. So I fully support tourism as a market, but you have to look at an economy or a spatial economy holistically and say what else can we support, and then identify. But your criteria will have to be, one would be, there must be some commercial viability. It doesn't have to be at some scale. There must be a benefit for the local community, where skills transfer, funding, infrastructure investment, that kind of thing. So, maybe I'm not asking you directly, but you know, you have cultural tourism sitting side by side with trout fishing.
If your weather is cold.
Well, exactly, you've got the natural resources. Because you, the same person who's coming to see cultural tourism may or may not be the same person who's interested in off-road biking or skydiving, for example. That's how tourism is. I mean, I'm not interested in everything. And then also the quality of the product is, as you said, I don't need five-star hotel, I need affordable accommodation. As opposed to a different type of tourist who wants that five-star lodge. And that's why the Kruger Park area is quite interesting, because you've got five-star all the way through to self catering, all the way through to camping, all the way to, you know, people with the vans, and it caters for all. And some of the, you know, some of that is the local level. The local government, the most beneficial thing is, Can the tourists know about it? Is there a demand for it? Is there an interest? Can they get the infrastructure right? Are there opportunities to spend money there and keep the money in the local community? What was the experience like? Will they recommend it to their friends? And from the government's perspective, what is our investment? Is there a return? Are jobs created? What is the investment in terms of social and economic return? Can do next time, either at SOGA or to get local governments themselves to come present what I was kind of alluding to before, like tourism ideas, but they just are not a priority for them to fund. Or that kind of thing, and maybe it will expand the discussion a bit there. I can't speak for the country at all. And a good example of a town that has changed completely, and I don't know if you've been there, is Clarence.
I've been there. We've been there.
There was nothing. There was a beautiful building. There's a Protea Hotel there now. There's a golf course. There's artist colony, it's transformed. Maybe people want the old Clarence back now.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them try to pick the money as well as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're a small town. You know, they have more than 20,000 people paying, 50,000 people paying. At the time, maybe more now. But small municipality. And now they're supporting all the surrounding areas, Golden Gate, that whole area. Now, some Texas, Rosendale, it's all benefited from.
Love it. Oh. Okay.
So. And the other thing you want to say is you can't have, I don't know if you've heard, you know, people decide they want to open up a hairdressing salon in an informal settlement or a township.
Mm.
Then suddenly they're 10.
Yeah.
They reduce the market.
Yeah.
That's the same thing in tourism. You can't have two towns
competing. Competing,
So what happens in the Western Cape, which I think they're trying to do, is to make sure that the Cape Town Jazz Festival doesn't happen on the same day as the McGregor poetry festival, same weekend. Okay. There's two weekends in the year.
Yeah.
So this is what's really happening. Different market. Mm. Different market. Different target market. Different. You know, that's really what's happening. Dulcian, another example. Massive growth. Massively massive. Fishing and that kind of whatever that you do. You find your niche, you can create a niche, but then you're set to really competing with. But heritage tourism, I think it should be a primary factor, but not the only factor.
Okay.
And as I said, in the Eastern Cape, you're going to see a lot of, you know, Mandela, Mandela, Voters, say it. You also want to go to Coffee Goat.
Town
there as well. You're probably right, whatever. You don't want somebody to stop and then drive, whether you're going north or south, play the drive.
Product. And then there is the issue of marketing. Does it suffice? Does rural development need a different type of marketing? How do we expand on marketing? Are we having enough resources? Are we not having enough resources? Marketing the rural tourism development.
Then we wanted one of the
second quarter is to develop guidelines for developing homestays in rural areas. Guidelines for homestays in rural areas. Because there's a lot of homestays being what's the guidelines? What is the standard? What's the expectation? So that's what we are saying. And then we our intention for this year is to write an annual report on the state of rural tourist development. So that's the starting point for us around that. But linked to that, then we've identified we would like to have a number of social tourism programs initiated, at least one with the project. We take number of direct investments attracted. So we've given as a target that we would like at least three of those businesses.
Mm-hmm.
That's part with the tourism enterprise program. So I think we've defined clear deliverables. Number of rural enterprises supported to start up. So this is where the tourism enterprise program will come into play and support people to start up and look at the feasibility of rural enterprises. And in that case, we set ourselves a target of saying that at least 15 enterprises need to go for the That's the detail in our strategy. We've identified the numbers.
Hmm.
In our business plan, we've identified the steps, and then we have said by quarter one, meaning end of June, what should happen for us to meet the target at the end of the year. So our departmental business plan is quite detailed of the process that needs to be followed to arrive at that one. When you talk rural development, you can't talk to that in isolation, because that's aligned with the outcomes and it's aligned with what the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform is responsible for. So we need to put into that area. So just come back and get to our marketing. I think we will take the note from the committee and see how we're going to address that. How we as national province and local government are going to make sure that there's some effort around the marketing. How we deal with the marketing issues. Because at this stage, national is focusing on international marketing. But we would like to take up the responsibility to support the domestic marketing.
Okay. Okay, because then I think we'll have to look at the we have looked at the different aspects now, and I do not know whether there is any other area where we can perhaps discuss anything further. Because the issue of capitalizing on the FIFA 2010 FIFA World Cup, I think we have exhausted that, and then education and communication, we have dealt with that. And then invite others in tourism fraternity. We are going to try and do that. And particularly to create a shared vision and plan. And then EPWP program. We've got improved signage. It will be the committee that will address it, someone, provinces and road agencies to discuss on the issue of delay, and then to be part of the NTT MinMec Salga meeting, and then in that meeting we address red tape, and then we deal with long-term matters, and then we increase our advocacy, and then with mentors after identifying, say, one or two rural destinations and rural destinations or rural experiences. And then there is the issue of the SADC cooperation. We are having a partnership between Kenya and South Africa. And we have seen the minister going to Zimbabwe. What are your plans around SADC? Countries, Angola presenting an opportunity, Mozambique growth, growing, and Botswana, I don't know what. What are the plans around SADC and the Africa region?
Right, so can we discuss bilateral agreements with almost all the SADC countries? But those bilateral agreements were designed around environment and tourism. So we started by sitting over to the environment government and understanding the focus only on tourism. As well as to define an action plan. So on which areas we would like to kind of collaborate with them. As far as the status is concerned, and I'm just looking for that quickly, that I know that I think there's at least five of the MLAs this year that we've taken sort of revisit, if my memory serves me right, as well as to determine the action plan of where we will collaborate. On which cases they will take the lead, and on which cases we are taking the lead. The South around the Brazil, India, South Africa,
China,
interaction of ecotourism, South Africa will lead, certain of the issues Brazil will lead, certain of the other issues India will lead. So we've got all those sort of agreements that touch into the of the Department of Foreign Affairs. We as the National Department play a role around the tourism. Environment, the people play a role around the environment. So we dealt with all of those. So basically, we've got a specific key performance indicator that the number of initiatives aimed at promoting integrated tourism in Southern Africa, developing communities. So we've got a specific key performance indicator. And we set a target for ourselves of what we would like to deal with. One of those things that I think that we've built into the process of SADC was the Festival of Africa. Through the Tosa, we had a big exhibition in Gauteng, in Johannesburg, during the FIFA World Cup, situated where the tourist thing has been moved through and where SADC countries have marketed themselves as part of that. That was run for about 2.5 weeks, where each of those countries had participated, they had exhibitions there, certain days were allocated to them. And then, apart from that, we've also allocated 3 days to each of the provinces. So of the 9 provinces, if I can recall, 5 of the provinces have taken up that opportunity to come and expose themselves. But again, you get housing, Western Cape, Kwazulu Natal, mm-hmm. The Eastern Cape, I know, does not tend to sort of go and sell themselves. Mpumalanga was there, and Mpopo was there. So we created that during the World Cup as an opportunity for what they call the Festival of Africa. And that was organized by Ricosa. The government has contributed to that we've dealt with that one. And then we also have a specific key performance indicator around regional tourism. We are focusing also around our TSGA and how we integrate that sort of process. And then also the link to NEPAD, because
sure it's well looked after. Are there any questions?
I think just to say that the people negotiated on with the DRC, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Saudi Arabia, Vietnam, and Malawi, the ones that we are now in the development sector.
Yeah, perhaps one would be interested in those. I mean, the ones that are likely to bring more income than others, like Angola, they've got oil. They are more likely to bring income per tourist to South Africa. At one stage, the minister said that the constraint is that the Angolans do not want to they do not have aircraft to come to South Africa, but at the same time they do not want to be out competed by FAA. They do not want FAA to compete with them and then put them out of the route. Have we managed that? Because there are countries that are becoming a little richer than they used to be, like Angola. And I do not know.
The flights to Rooms and Bob falls in the mandate of the Department of Transport.
And the constraints, yeah.
We give Albert in the type of visa. And we try to push them to do certain things, but they also look at other issues and security issues, because
yeah.
These are linked to security. And so we play a role in all of it, even the fighting of, in fact, I'm having a meeting on Monday with the DTI on airline fighting. But if you fly from Johannesburg to Mpumalanga, it's more expensive than coming to Cape Town. Because it's the air links are running that. But British Airways has now entered that market, so most of the prices will come down. So it's demand.
Okay.
And the availability of aircraft. It's more expensive to fly SAA to the UK than flying on British Airways. But this is a national carrier. That's a specific deliverable that will be the outcome. If you go to the outcome document of DPI, pricing of airlines, the pricing is one of those things that needs to be addressed, because the government has classified the SAA.
But still, FAA is more expensive.
So are they a national carrier? Or do they need to put a prayer? Because for them to survive, they need to lift their prices. That at the end of the day, it's the South African taxpayer, of course, who are using SAA. You can fly Kulula of Congo one time for R1,200 to Cape Town and back. If you fly SAA, if it's business class of 5,000, you can economic it 4,000 now. They do have three tickets, which you have to make reservations in advance. So it's how do we deal with this, the competitiveness in the market. So that issue that we as tourism are looking at, because from an economic and tourist perspective, we would like to have value for money. And even during the World Cup, I think that there were issues about hiking our prices. We did the survey. So you need to put it in perspective when people are saying,
country. Yeah.
Maybe Palestine is contending with Germany. In the case of Germany, the prices were inflated and hiked throughout, even Greece, when they had the Olympic Games, how they have increased the hike. So in fact, I think South Africa was quite responsible.
Yeah, the minister intervened. Oh. Okay. And I don't know whether there's somebody else before I ask this question. The issue of using assets like the blue train and then the trains that are available, particularly with respect to some rural towns, linking them for purposes of tourism. For instance, there could be something later, I do not know, but I'm just asking. There could be something around the A, which is in the middle of, it's a small town, but or Kimberley, perhaps from here by train. Have we looked into some of those things, accessibility by train?
No, I think we haven't.
Yeah, because the blue train, the blue train is too expensive.
So they stop at the wages station,
oh, yes,
where they can have facilities.
Yes.
They want to utilize the time.
Mm.
To take 8 or 10 hours from Joburg to Victoria, and therefore they need it. I think that one can take out, but for them, they are business units, so they,
yes,
say the tourist wants to get up on the blue train for argument's sake to travel from Pretoria or from Johannesburg to Cape Town, where that train being stopped at specific areas, like cruise line.
Right,
yes. They go to a certain island, or they take people to a specific spot.
Okay. No, but are there any other questions? Thank you for that. Okay. So we are satisfied now with the straight plan. Sister Jane, it looks like you want to say something.
Yeah, but it was very specific. I wanted to comment on about the houses in the world. I said maybe the plan that was presented, it will assist that legacy that we are talking about of the minister. Because most people were having this guest houses, but they were never utilized. But if we can go to whatever that you have mentioned, I think we will also cool the people down when they go to rural. But we must go back to those people, because the issue of building or having a guest house for the 2010, it didn't reach well at the rural area. They just build without knowing what is the specification of the build. There are so many guest houses in the rural area. I think the plan that you have said, I think to go and know how many guest houses, do they benefit, what is that this tourism can assist those rural
mine is just a minor question. I just want to check with the department in terms of the legislation, at what stage the bill is now? Is it still with the cabinet, or is it, or has it passed through the cabinet stage? At what stage is the legislation is the one that is coming to parliament?
Oh yeah, the new bill. When should we expect it? And got all.
And it will now go to the MIMNEC process, and it will go to cabinet. Once cabinet is signed off, it will be published for comment. And as indicated, we hope to bring it into the parliamentary process at the latter half of the second quarter, beginning of the third quarter next year. And the strategy most probably in the first quarter, January, in that very virtual period of the portfolio committee.
Okay.
So we just gone through the internal processes. I think that this is why I could reflect on some issues that was mentioned yesterday now, information management, norms and standards, those types of things are always there.
No. So let us then conclude this this workshop and say that at 12:30 the our lunch has been organized for 12:30 today because we are virtually finished. And so we can just wait for about 30 minutes and then we'll have our dinner. But before that, perhaps one has got to thank everyone for the contribution and for the ideas. We are going to engage and we are going to try and increase the profile of tourism in the country. I think it's something that has to happen. And then we are going to try and find ways of advocacy, because everything has got to start with even more advocacy than we are having. Strengthen ourselves on that platform. And secondly, we have to increase the profile of role players. Thirdly, we've got to create a common vision on tourism together with the private sector. So we come with our own baggage, they come with theirs, and then we combine into an exciting distinct outcome, each using their strength to optimize the ultimate outcome, and fourthly, to try and strengthen this issue of working together, coming from the World Cup, using the energy that flows from such arrangements, where we try as much as possible to remove the silo walls. And then in the long term, and our long term, I don't think we mean 5 years. let us say normally the short term is 1 year, medium term is up to 3 years, and then the long term is further. So perhaps in about 2 years now, let us try and target that period for raising substantial funds to identify one big project to develop in a rural area, which is going to have a buy-in from the private sector and everyone else. And the issue of product development and their authenticity, because Marketing Council, South African Tourism, they said that South Africa's weakness in cultural and heritage marketing is that they lack the authentic, distinct cultural, distinct tourism. Let us go as we go along. Look at what we mean by that. Because you see, if you go to DSTV and then you see people interacting with primitive tribes, by primitive I mean that they are in almost their original state, about spending for about 500 years. You find people that are still not using a lot of things that are used in the West. But does it fit cultural tourism? Or cultural tourism should mean the way we live as we are. Because now, to try and then go back 300 years ago may not be feasible. But there is a type of lifestyle that we live that is experienced at Etimzoli sometimes, that is experienced in Soweto, that can be experienced in a Bure town, that can be experienced in Durban, where there are Indians, that could be experienced from Cape Malays and so forth. These are experiences that, diverse as they are part of the common experience of South Africa. What do we do with those things? This is this was the essence of what we discussed about the reality of our experiences. And then the issues of addressing the red tape that we experience, improving signage, and then what we are going to do about those. Increasing the profile of tourism as tourism now, and the role of parliament on one side, the role of local governments that have an interest or where it makes sense to develop tourism, because as we had yesterday, it's not all towns that are geared for tourism. And these things then culminating into a summit, that or it may be summit or it may have another name, where we concentrate on, whilst we are concentrating on increasing the profile of tourism, we also try and create a national vision from all role players in the industry of tourism. So we shall act more as leadership, but once everyone is there, then we become the catalyst, and then use the energy of everyone towards one common vision, and then an exciting, and creating South Africa as an exciting experience and an exciting destination. I think in short, we have captured most of those things, and then we wish to be in a position to, from time to time, at different forums, meet and then advance what we are having here. And with those few words, I think let us close this meeting. Thank you.
No, come back.